Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. That's what we like to say in Florida. We say Happy Resurrection Sunday. But every Sunday we gather together, and every day of our lives we gather together. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is very, very important to us. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not resurrected from the dead, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we of all men would be most miserable. If only we had this life to live and we had no future. If Christ wasn't resurrected, if he's not seated at the right hand of the throne of God, if there's no future hope for the believer, then we only have this life. Now, you know, when you're little, when you're young, you think the world is going to be just wonderful. All you have to do is play every day and get some toys. And then you get a little older and you have other activities you have. You think about your career. But as you move on in life, you begin to see the realities of life. And you begin to see this world isn't that great. It's very beautiful. In fact, this part of the world is one of the most beautiful parts of the world there is. So you are very, very blessed, naturally speaking, as far as landscape and mountains and rivers and lakes. It's one of the most beautiful parts of North America. I've traveled a little bit. It's one of the most beautiful parts of the world. But this world, it says in the Word of God, it says, we of all men, we are most miserable. Because if this is all we have, as we get older, there's sickness and there's death and there's trials and there's difficulties. And life is that way. You go to a cemetery and sometimes you look at the gravestones. I don't do it very often. But you see someone dying at 4 years old, someone dying at 10 years old, and someone at 19 and 20. So Resurrection Sunday, we are so thankful that the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead. And so we want to think about that in our time this morning. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke and chapter 24. And as you're turning there, I want to share a little bit about myself and my wife who's with me this morning and this weekend. We are from the Tampa, Florida area. And we live in a town called Land O'Lakes. And it is not where they make butter. Whenever I mention we're from Land O'Lakes, do you have Land O'Lakes butter here? Maybe you don't even have that, but it's a very well-known brand of butter. And whenever I say from Land O'Lakes, they say, oh, is that where they make the butter? No, it's not. It's not where they make the butter. But we have the same name. I'm making it in Wisconsin somewhere, I think. Land O'Lakes, Florida, what's only called Land O'Lakes, is full of lakes. There's 20, 30 lakes in our town. And when we moved there 25 years ago, our town had 5,000 people, our country, little country town with a lot of lakes. But now we have about 110,000 people that live in the Land O'Lakes and surrounding smaller towns around us. But that's where we live. We've lived there for 25 years, actually about 29 years. And it's amazing. You move somewhere, you raise your family, and you turn around and you blink your eyes, and you've been there a long time. But we've raised your family there. The Lord has brought us there, and we've served him in a full-time capacity. I may look not too old, but I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years, since 1983. And if I do my math right, it's a little over 40 years I've been in full-time service to the Lord. We've helped to establish a church in the Land O'Lakes area, and so I serve there as an elder and a full-time worker, and I do travel, and I do some conference speaking, and I do some writing. My wife is musical. She teaches piano. She has a number of students, and she was looking at your piano here, your beautiful piano, and she was saying, I walk in somewhere, she said, that's a beautiful piano, because she sees things like that, because she's a musically minded person. And she loves good music. We've enjoyed very much the singing of this past weekend. We're from the Tampa, Florida area, and originally we're from New Jersey, and she was from Pennsylvania, But I want to mention this, that I have Canadian roots. My mother was born, well, my mother's parents, she was born in Cuba of missionary parents, but her parents were from Three Hills, Alberta, where Prairie Bible Institute is from. And her grandfather went there, and she went to Prairie High School, and her brother went to Prairie High School, and her parents were missionaries for 50 years, and she was born in Cuba, and so we have some Canadian roots. We have family in the Toronto area and Ontario. So it's great to be here with you. We want to look at this passage, and if you have your Bibles in front of you and opened, we're going to read chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel from verse 1 down to verse 12. But we are going to look at the entire chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And you may say, do we have enough time for that? But yes, we will have enough time, and I will stop on time. And we want to look at this whole chapter. Now, I want to give you a little outline, first of all, of how we're going to look at this chapter. And there's five open things we find in chapter 24. There's an open tomb. And then in verses 13 down to verse 35, there's open scriptures. He opened the scriptures to them. And then in verses 35 and down a little bit, he opened their eyes. And then down a little bit further, he opens their understanding in verses 40 to 45. And then lastly, there's an open heavens, and we see the Lord Jesus ascending to heaven. So we're going to look at those five things, five open things we find in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. I know we've opened in prayer already, but I want to open again just a short prayer before I speak, and then we'll get into the Word of God this morning. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those that are gathered here this morning to hear your word, to worship together, to sing together. And so, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God might work and lead. May you speak to our hearts. We know that you speak to us, Father. May we listen with open ears and open hearts. We want to hear from you. We know when you speak to us, you direct us, you lead us, and we want that. We want you in our lives more and more. And so, Father, this morning we pray that you will do that in our lives. May we hear from you. May you do something in our lives. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read these few verses to start off with. Verse 1 of chapter 24. And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of Jesus. We can say hallelujah right at that point. They found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, they're very much perplexed about this. And behold, two angels stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things to the eleven apostles or disciples, and to all the rest of the disciples. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them that told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to the apostles like idle tales, and they did not believe the women. But Peter rose up and thought, well, maybe there's some truth in what the women are telling us. And they rise up with John and they run to the sepulcher. And stooping down, now look at verse 12, this word, very important word. And they beheld, it's an old English word, they looked. You know, in the Greek language, which the Bible was written and the New Testament was written in, the Greek word underlying this word beheld means this, a long look, not a quick look. There's some quick looks and a long look. This Greek word, we get our word theater from it. It means a long look. He took a long look at what he saw in that sepulcher, in that tomb. And it says in verse 12, Peter rose, he ran, stooping down. He looked long at the linen clothes laid by themselves. Another passage says they were folded together. And they departed, wondering to himself what had come to pass. Well, here we have the open tomb. And all through Scripture, we read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In the Gospels and in the book of the Acts and through the New Testament, 40 times we are taught about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. 10 times in the book of Acts, in the preaching of the apostles, they preached about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is spoken of and declared as a fact in the Gospels. It is stated in the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. And then when we come to the epistles, it explained to us what the meaning of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we come to see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How their Lord is risen from the dead, and because he was risen from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. I want to tell you something very important. Today we have a number of very vocal atheists, and they'll say, after we die, all there is the ground, is the grave. There's nothing future. There's nothing after that. The Bible tells a very different story. There is something very different after that. Because the Lord rose from the dead, we shall also rise from the dead. And we will also one day be with the Lord Jesus. And the book of Job says, and we will see him. We will see the Lord. We will be with the Lord. You know, there's something so precious. We're looking at prophecy. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and go there with me. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. It talks about we being in heaven. You and I, believers, those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a believer? What is a Christian? What is a follower of the Lord Jesus? What is that? It's someone who has acknowledged their sins before the Lord. They've said to the Lord in a prayer, or they've said it in their heart and mind, they've said, Lord, I know I have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. I have sinned. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty and lost before God. And I remember saying that in my own life. And then the second thing is this. You acknowledge and you see what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. He died for you. He paid the penalty price for your sins. Not only your sins, but the sins of the whole world. The Lord Jesus on the cross bore all of our sins. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now think about that verse for a minute. It's not the people who are good whom the Lord Jesus laid their sins upon him. It's not the righteous ones. It's not the good ones. It says we all have gone astray. We have turned and gone our own way. We've turned our backs on the Lord Jesus and gone our own way. The disobedient ones, the unbelieving ones, And he takes the unbelieving ones and the ones who've turned their backs on Christ. This is what's so beautiful about that verse. And he takes their sins and all the sins of the world, and he puts it on Jesus. And he pays the penalty for our sins. He pays the penalty for our sins. And we believe that. We believe that we're lost. We believe the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and he offers to us eternal life in the Lord Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. It says, as many as received him, he gave the power to be the sons of God to those who believed on his name. And the last thing is that you place faith in the Lord Jesus. I want to share a verse with you. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, I am the door. I am the door. And then he says this, all those who have entered in, who by me have entered in, are saved. Now, there's something very special about that little verse. Who enter in, who take a step of faith. You know, to be saved, you need to take a step of faith. It doesn't just happen. I had to take a step of faith. All those who enter in that door of salvation are saved. So I want to ask that question. Have you entered in the door of salvation one day in your life? Have you entered in? Have you taken that step? That step of faith, that act of faith. Well, let's go back to our passage. It speaks about these who saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They didn't understand at first, but they began to understand. Now, there's a great application to this first part, these first 12 verses of this chapter. And I want to share this with you. The women come to the tomb. Peter comes to the tomb. They come, and the women come to this tomb, and they find an empty tomb. And the women come, and they're coming to do a little thing, aren't they? They're coming to bring spices to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. That's what they want to do. They come to do a little thing. And as they come to do this little thing, their lives, something happens in their lives, and they wind up doing a great thing. A thing they never thought they were going to do. They didn't think they were going to do that day. To go and be the first ones to announce the resurrection of the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and announce it to Peter and all the disciples and all the apostles, and they go and see it, and they begin to declare this to all the world, which eventually becomes the greatest message of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is risen again. And it began because women want to do a small thing, and I want to encourage you in that. Maybe the Lord puts on your heart to do a small thing. I want to give you a little illustration. Then we're going to move on to the next section. We're in Revelation chapter 4. I want to share something about believers, about what happens when you become a believer. Revelation chapter 4. We see in verse 4, we see a throne. And it says around about that throne are 24 thrones. And those 24 thrones are a representative number of all Christians. It's a representative number. But notice where those thrones are. Notice where the other angels are. Notice where the four living creatures. Notice what all other groups of people or beings in heaven. You know, I say sometimes, I would love to be in the gate. I'm satisfied to be in the gate of heaven, have my back to the wall. You know, you don't play much baseball here, but in the United States, you play a lot of baseball, and there's this thing called the warning track. Before you get to the wall and the stadium, and the stands, and you hit a home run, somebody hits it, they get to the warning track. There's sand there. You know you're getting near the wall. And as you say, I'd like to be in the warning track, just inside the gate. But the Lord says this, come closer and come closer. Go past those angels. Go past those innumerable angels in heaven. Go past those four living creatures. Come closer and closer and closer. And look at verse 4. And you will be, we who have failed, we who have been sinners, we who have been lost, we who are dead in our trespasses and sins. He says, you stay right here in closest proximity to me than any other being in heaven for all eternity. That's what a believer gets to do. And many other things as well. But he takes us from where we are and he puts us into a most beautiful place for all eternity. Back to chapter 24. A little illustration. There's a man named George Verwer. He passed away 2 years ago. But George Verwer was the founder and he was the president of an organization called Operation Mobilization, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. He started it when he was about 18 years old by going to Mexico. He went to 45 countries. They had two ships that went throughout the world. Thousands have been part of the organization of Operation Mobilization. Countless people have probably received the gospel received and literature received through Operation Mobilization. But the way that he got saved was through a little thing. And if that little thing didn't happen, maybe the Lord would have done something else. But a woman who lived across the street from the high school that he went to, she saw him one day, and she just had a burden for George Verwer. And her son was going to the high school. And she said to her son, she said, here's a Bible. I want you to take this Bible and I want you to give it to George Verwer. He wasn't interested in spiritual things at that time, but they gave it to him. Some people are here from India. Similar thing happened to boxing. He went to Alberta as a student. Someone gave him a Bible. You know what he did? He tore it apart. Boxing, tore it apart. But that was, he began to feel guilty that he tore apart a Bible and he began to read it. A little thing. God loves to use little things. I would encourage you. Maybe the Lord's put it on your heart some little thing to do. Maybe invite a neighbor over to your house. If you live in an apartment, maybe the person across the hallway that where you live, whatever it may be. A little thing. And God can do wonderful things through it. Now, let's look at the next section. I'm going to tell you about this next section just for the sake of time. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along and they're downcast and they're discouraged. And they're saying, we had hoped that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the Redeemer. But he went to the cross and he died. And it's been days now. And all the church is discouraged. And they're cast down, walking from Jerusalem to the road to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And what it says in this passage is Jesus joins himself to them. And I love the sense of humor the Lord Jesus Christ says to them. Verse 17, he says, what manner of communication is this among you that you have with one another as you walk? They said, don't you know any of these things that happened in Jerusalem? How the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, how he died, he was buried. Don't you know these things? You know what Jesus says? Look at the Bible. I love what he says. He says, what things? What things? And they tell him the whole story. And then he begins to expound to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. And it says, did not our hearts burn within us when he showed us these things? Now, there's a lesson. You know, when you're discouraged, when you're discouraged, go to the scriptures. Go to the scriptures. When you're doubting, go to the scriptures. We had the opportunity to lead a relatively young man, to the Lord. He was in his 40s. And he would come to a home Bible study in our home. And he said, you know, what do I do when I doubt? You know, there's times I doubt the scriptures. Sometimes I doubt that I'm really saved. Sometimes I doubt about heaven. Sometimes I doubt about my sins are forgiven. What do I do when I doubt? And I said to him, when you doubt, just read more and more and more of the Bible. You know why? Because it says this. It says, faith comes by hearing. We come to faith by hearing the word of God, hearing the Bible. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want stronger faith? You want initial faith? Read the Bible. You want stronger, continual faith? Read the Bible. And I'll tell you this, your faith will get stronger. I've never met a person of strong faith doing much for the Lord who was not reading the Bible, wasn't a student of the Bible. I met a lot of weak Christians and Christians that were just going back and forth. They didn't read very much. I encourage you, read the Bible. If you have a hard time reading yourself, get a friend, read it together. Get accountability partner, read it together. You will be blessed and you will benefit from reading the Bible. I encourage you to do that. But then we have another passage. He spat the scriptures to him, but then look with me at verse 33 or 35 down to 43. He goes to a locked room where the disciples are. The disciples are in a locked room, and the Lord is able to enter into that room. But as he enters into that room, they're fearful. They're terrified when they see the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're seeing a spirit. They think they're seeing a ghost. And he says to them in verse 37, they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he says, why are you so fearful? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Now, when they're doubting, he unfolds the scriptures. But now in this passage, he doesn't do that. He doesn't unfold the scriptures. What's he do? He shows them the nail prints in his hands. When they doubt who he is, he says, look at my hands. Look at the nail prints of my hands. I am the Christ. I am the Lord Jesus Christ who went to that cross for you. Is that beautiful? When you're frightened, when you're troubled, he says, look at the cross. Look at what I've done for you. Look at what I've accomplished for you. Look at me. When you're troubled and frightened and fearful, look at Christ. And look especially, look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. For God demonstrated his love for us when he died for the ungodly. We see the love of Christ. We see the work of Christ. We see what he's done for us when we look at the cross. And then we find something else in this passage. Go with me to verse 45. Just a few minutes, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Look at verse 45. Verse 45, he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he tells them three things that are important. And I want to share these three things with you. The first thing he says that is important is the cross. Notice verse 46. In verse 46, he says, as it is written, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. We're coming to the end, and here the Lord Jesus is going to leave them three things that is important. First one is, never forget in your preaching, your living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Always remember the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. It's a picture of death, but it's a picture for us as believers of his love, of his finished work, of our sins being dealt with at the cross, of forgiveness and redemption, and our hope for heaven. Never forget the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, notice what he says, verse 47. After the cross, the next thing is mission. Is going out in the mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 47 and 48. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. Mission. In our local church, much like here, we have believers from India, we have believers from South America, we have believers from all over the world. Most cities are just an international cosmopolitan kind of gathering. People in China, people in India, people in South America, people from all over the world, smallest countries in the world. One of the smallest countries in the world is the Faroe Islands. I don't know if you know where the Faroe Islands is. Go to Scotland, go directly north before you hit Greenland and Iceland. There's a little island, 45,000 people. And that's a nation. It's a nation of 45,000 people. Very cold, so cold and so windy, no trees grow on the Faroe Islands. Bitter, bitter, bitter cold. But of the 45,000 people that live there, nearly half of them are Christians. Because a Christian went there one day. A man named William Sloane, a great hero of the faith, a British man, went there. He had a burden for the Faroe Islands of all over the world. The Faroe Islands, or Jamaica, or India, or China. He says here in this passage that repentance should be preached to all nations. You know, that word nations means Gentiles. Jews, yes, but Gentiles also. But lastly, he says in this passage, one last thing. Never forget the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're here as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. He does work in your life. You don't always realize it. But he's doing a work in your life. He's giving you a strength you might not know that you even have. Giving you an understanding of the Bible you thought you might not even have. Look what it says in verse 49. I send a promise of my Father unto you, and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And then he is ascended from there, and he goes up into heaven. The Lord is risen today. We have wonderful truths about the finished work and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this be a great day for you, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord begin and maybe begin to use you in a new way, because you begin something small for the Lord Jesus. You might think of something small, but the Lord likes taking small things and sometimes weak people, and maybe doubting people, and people that say, I'm not sure how this is ever going to work, and do something wonderful with it. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you most of all for the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the ability to go forth in mission, sharing the message of the gospel with a lost world. But we look at the cross and we look at the resurrection today, and we are the most joyful of all people because the Lord Jesus Christ is risen today. We do not sorrow as others who have no hope. We have a great hope because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And so we thank you for all these things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you today as you go from here. Thank you very much.